Amen. Hey, this week is actually a big week because we transitioned from February into March, which is truly the most wonderful time of the year because of March Madness. I don't care what the Christmas songs say. But before we get there, February is Black History Month, and I want to invite you to join me and other students on this campus and people from our community tomorrow night, Tuesday, 6:30 in the Moss. There is going to be an event celebrating the history of the Black Church, and there will be a time of worship leading into it and some good understanding of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're going to probably learn maybe how to clap in a different way on the two and the four. It's harder for some of us, people like me. But so come tomorrow night. Would love to see you there. Hey, this semester we have been working through the School of Prayer, and we're going to do so again this morning. And I want to invite you to take out your Bibles or grab the Bible in front of you and turn to Psalm 46, which is on page 450. Again, remember the trick, you kind of just cut it halfway when you're looking for the Psalms and you'll get close. But page 450, if you don't have a Bible, you know, look on with somebody else, or you can just listen to hear the word of God speak. But here's the thing, I'm gonna need your help this morning. So if you can see, if you look at Psalm 46, after verse 3 and after verse 7 and after verse 11, there's this little word in italics, Selah, which is a Hebrew word, and it's hard to really translate the whole meaning, but thoughts are that these were songs and sung, so it kind of marked a break or a transition. It also is thought to be kind of like an amen or a yep, tell it. Come on now, let's do this. Preach it. So this morning, as I read the psalm, and when we get to the Selah after 3 and after 7 and after 11, that's you all coming in with the Selah. So let's practice right now. Okay, you know, that is like slightly convincing. Amen. Think of it like an amen, all right? Let's do it again.
Selah.
All right, let's hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Selah.
Amen. This prayer of the Hebrews was powerful. And it may be one that you've heard before. In fact, I know that we have prayed and talked about it from this very stage. We've talked about how God is our help in trouble. We've talked about being still before the Lord. And when we look at this psalm, it's important to understand, I think, a couple of things. For our context is sometimes eerily similar to the ancient Hebrews and sometimes drastically different. Here's a couple things I just simply want you to note. One, this is a psalm where the Hebrews are acknowledging that God is God. God is the subject of the psalm, not human beings. God is named 7 times. It is God who deserves the focus. And if you caught it, you know, time to really go into it, but the beginning of the psalm talks about how the waters are just roaring. And for the Hebrews, the waters and the chaos of the waters symbolize an insecurity in the earth and a destruction of the earth. But they're saying even though The earth can't be controlled. We trust in God. And then it moves into talking about how nations are toppling. And see, the Hebrews understood that their lives were intricately connected. And so insecurity in the nations affected their corporate life. But see, then God comes in and says, reminds them, you cannot control the earth. You are humans who keep trying to control through war the nations. And he comes in verse 10 and he says, basically, stop it. You know, we hear this be still, and I myself too use it a lot of times in a meditation. And a lot of times when we think about meditation, we think of, you know, very peaceful, streams of water, maybe some nice music in the background, you know, just very centered. And yes, I think the Spirit can use this verse in that way. But in the context of this prayer, where it originated, God is saying something else. He's not saying, hey, just relax. He is saying, cut it out. Stop it. Stop your warring. Stop attacking. Stop pretending like you are the ones who can write history. Stop acting and acknowledge that I am God. The Hebrew word here that we translate into this be still, the etymology of that word actually means to relax one's grip. So one commentation that I read about this talked about how a great translation is, God says, let go and know that I am God. Now, those of us sitting here today perhaps can't relate to this poem or this prayer because we are not actively engaged in war right now. But I wonder if God isn't saying, just stop to us today. Just stop with your attacks on one another and your gossip and the slander of your housemates. Just stop using your body for sex or using others' bodies for sex. Just stop pretending that it's your perfection of your performance or your grades or in the game that gives you worth and value. Just stop and acknowledge that I am God. If you were here on Friday, we had the opportunity to hear from Ruth Haley Barton. She reminded us of a very simple prayer that is very appropriate for us in this season of a Lent, season when we are, as a people, on a journey. And here's the thing. We are a people who are on a journey. We need to start to understand this in the way that the Hebrews understood. I need to understand that my gossip, my sexual sin, my tendencies toward perfection have implications for the community. That it's not just all about me. It is a gift that we get to come together and worship 4 times a week. But if our worship doesn't begin to transform our lives, the other hundreds of hours we are together in this community, what's the point? Lent is a great time to think about transformation and to think about ways to do this together as a community. And Ruth, on Friday, gave us a challenge. She challenged us to practice the silent prayer or the centering prayer or the prayer of attentiveness. It has lots of different names, but simply being in the presence of God for 10 minutes a day. And I think it's a great challenge, and I'm going to echo that challenge, and I'm going to up the ante a little bit, too. I think it's not just a great challenge for me, Kate, to do so I can get close to God, but I think it's a great challenge that will transform our community, that if all of us took 10 minutes a day, and I know you got it. I know there's 10 minutes you could not be on Facebook or playing video games or texting. I know it's there, so that's not an excuse. But if we did that, it would transform our communities. And so I want you to think about doing that, and I want you to do it. And I want you to look around at the people here and your friends who you're probably sitting next to and ask them when they are doing it. Don't simply just walk out of here and think, that was a nice thought, maybe I'll do it. But start talking about it. You know, in that awkward time when you're waiting for the professor to show up and you're like, do I talk to the person next to me? Or just kind of sit here and play on my phone like I'm super important. Or, you know, maybe you talk about it while you're just waiting for practice to start or when you're walking to class. Maybe you talk about it when you're sitting in the basement holding a red cup and not quite sure the lyrics of the song so you don't know what else to talk about. You talk about that. God is present everywhere. Amen. And we need to start seeing that. And we need to start living as though that is true. So we're going to practice the centering prayer this morning because Ruth was right, it's hard. It sounds really simple and really easy. And if you remember, she gave the example of being like a jar of river water, right? Where when you're still, all the junk, all the sediment kind of comes to the bottom. But when we're moving around, it's just all shaken up and we are in a turmoil. And I wonder sometimes if we don't stay shaken up because we don't want to deal with the junk that settles on the bottom. So this season of Lent, let us journey together as a people of God. Let's practice right now the centering prayer. And I'm going to give you some tips on how to do this on your own, too. You don't need to do it in a community, but it's powerful. One, very simple, turn off your cell phone. Be in a place where you won't be distracted. Start simply by paying attention to your posture. So do that even now. Actually, put both hands on the floor. And for those of you who are like, I'm not really into this meditation stuff, not on the floor, on your lap, feet on the floor. Just seeing if you're paying attention. But both feet on the floor, really kind of sit up. And be still, relax your grip and set that on your lap. And you begin simply by closing your eyes and taking a few deep breaths, the kind of breaths that make noise, deeply in through your nose and out through your mouth. And it helps if you have a word to focus on. And in the moments when the thoughts begin to swim in your mind, which they will, it helps to visualize those thoughts like boats on the horizon, kind of just going by, or clouds in the sky that are on the move. Just let them go through your mind. Don't judge for yourself and say, oh, I really stink at this centering prayer. But focus again on that word and breathe deeply. Knowing that you are in the presence of God, that you have God's attention, that God wants your attention. And I'm going to lead us now in a prayer that will lead us into just a few moments of silence together. And this is, again, something you can practice on your own. But it doesn't need to be like this. So I will say a phrase and invite you to repeat it back to me. Again, remember to keep breathing through this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still. Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be. God, we are a people on a journey. And in this season of Lent, God, may we not tire of journeying, but may we see that we do so together. May we see that you've called us to be your people, reflecting you and your kingdom. Holy Spirit, will you continue to transform us? Speak to us in the silence. Break away the sediment and the junk that settles into our heart. God, may we trust that you are faithful and good. And we pray this all through Christ. And all of hope said, amen. Go in peace.